Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I can't think of a place I'd rather be on a beautiful Memorial Day weekend than right here behind this very microphone, because I have the extraordinary privilege of sharing vital health information with you. And you can call us, 888-302-3684 is our number, and I'm probably the only doctor who is open today. Most doctors are headed for their beach homes and their Mercedes. Here I am at your beck and call, so you can call us with questions. And last week, by the way, very happy Memorial Day to you all. I hope you're doing something healthy on your behalf. Last week, right after the broadcast, I went to see the movie Fed Up. And if you haven't heard about it, it's a new movie about food in America. And it's a collaboration between Katie Couric and Lori David. And if that name sounds familiar, it sounds a little like Larry David. Well, Lori David is the ex-wife of Larry David, the guy who was responsible for Seinfeld and the Larry David Show. And Lori David also is the executive producer of An Inconvenient Truth, which, like it or not, was a very, very effective polemical film. Great piece of propaganda that dramatized the global warming argument. And so, you know, I went to see the movie with a little bit of trepidation because I thought, well, you know, it's going to be yet another movie talking about how terrible America's diet is. And Lori David is going to use all her propaganda skills to convince us that the food industry is the villain. And, you know, what are we going to learn from this movie? And I also had some apprehensions that, once again, like many of its predecessor movies, it was going to target the meat industry and how it's bad for the planet. It's not sustainable, taking us into slaughterhouses and showing us tremendous cruelty to animals and so on, which is true, which is all true. And the poor quality of meat, you know, with additives and pink slime and that and the like. But I was pleasantly surprised by this movie because it takes a different tack. Instead of assembling the usual cast of characters like Dean Ornish and John McDougall and John Robbins and Caldwell Esselstyn and T. Colin Campbell, who are all dyed-in-the-wool vegan advocates, therefore the low-fat vegetarian plant-based diet. And there's nothing wrong with a diet that where you consume lots and lots of fruits and vegetables, but to finger fat, saturated fat and meat as the big problem in the American diet is misguided. And we're now seeing a real diet debate develop between the people who are the low-carb advocates, and there's some very significant ones, and the people who are the vegan vegetarian crowd. Well, Katie Couric and Lori David kind of turned their back on the usual advocates, and they interviewed a lot of the people that I have had on this program on Intelligent Medicine and on its predecessor show, Health Talk. They included Gary Taubes, who has written some great books about how we've gone wrong in our zeal to cut fat out of the American diet. Marion Nestle, Michelle Simon, who I've recently had on as a guest, indicting the food industry on the Intelligent Medicine podcast, not on the weekend radio show because we don't interview guests generally, but on the podcast, you're going to hear some of these people, some, you know, we interview many of these people during our weekday podcast available at drhoffman.com. Kelly Brownell, previous guest, and Dr. Robert Lustig, who is definitely an anti-sugar guy. Mark Hyman, who is constantly talking about insulin resistance. I'm absolutely on the same page with him when it comes to what's the cause of most disease in America. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. David Kessler, who's written a great book on how the food industry deliberately engineers food to make it addictive, super palatable. And food scientists are studying ways that we can directly tap into the brain, light up the brain, literally, with unique taste sensations that basically sell food. It's not about making food healthier. It's about selling more food. And so I was real happy that they chose this group of experts because their emphasis is on sugar and soda and refined carbohydrates. And as an example, they look at several kids who are trying to lose weight. They point to the epidemic of childhood obesity in America, and they follow several kids, one who ultimately has to undergo intestinal bypass surgery at a very young age, you know, 13 or 14, to curb his morbid obesity. And these kids, they're simply not making any progress. Why aren't they making any progress? Because they're being fed the wrong diet. They just don't know. In their ignorance, they're eating lots of low-fat cereal with skim milk. They're having, you know, glasses of orange juice. They're having healthy granola bars. And they're just not shedding those excess pounds. And so the experts explain about how insulin works and about how fat cells are reluctant to burn fat for fuel under the influence of excess sugar and so on and so on and so on. So they also point out to what the food industry is doing, which is interesting because the food industry constantly, they're like the tobacco industry back in the 1960s when called upon, they said, well, you know, cigarettes aren't really addictive. And the science, it's sort of, you know, it's unclear as to whether they really cause heart disease or cancer. Well, the science is there for the connection between excess carbohydrate calories and our epidemics of obesity. Soda clearly increasing the risk of obesity. And what they say, these experts, industry flax, sometimes bought off scientists, sometimes industry executives, they say, well, their general retort is, oh, well, you know, soft drinks, if drunk in moderation, can be part of a healthy lifestyle. If you exercise, simply exercise, and you'll burn off the calories. Well, the answer is the vast majority of Americans don't exercise that much. And besides, exercise for many people is not an antidote to the supercharged caloric intake that they get now from, you know, say they don't want to drink cola. They're going to drink Gatorade, energy drinks to enhance athletic performance, totally unnecessary and stoking our epidemic of obesity. If you want to, you know, walk your dog around the block, you don't need to slug down Gatorade with electrolytes in order to perform that very challenging athletic feat. You know, it's beyond our body's capacity to handle all that sugar and carbohydrates. And so at the end of the movie, you know, you feel bad because the food industry is doing it. The government is doing it by underwriting subsidies for the sugar industry, for the corn industry. There's so much surplus corn that we're putting into our cars, we're putting into our sodas. It's a cheap form of fuel for cars and our bodies, highly subsidized to the tune of billions of dollars by our government. I say stop sugar subsidies, stop corn subsidies. Yeah, I mean, certain constituencies are going to feel bad about that. Farmers, there are many senators who are going to, and Congress people who are going to say, no, keep up those subsidies for my state. Well, but it's bad for the people of America, and it's undermining our health and even our national security. These days, you can't find able recruits for the military. They're too fat to perform the challenging physical tasks that they need to perform under combat circumstances. And, you know, the costs, the enormous costs of taking care of all these people, we're seeing it happen with Obamacare. We're seeing it happen at the Veterans Administration. Many of these individuals who are sapping our national budget are people who are sick because of the wrong diets, because they're following a standard American diet. They're being enticed, deliberately addicted to the foods put out by the food industry. So what's the solution? Well, I don't know what this is. A solution to put a lot of taxes on food? Well, unfortunately, the taxes may go to the wrong places. It'd be great if the taxes would go to programs to fight obesity, programs to educate people about the correct diet, but maybe it's just a way of increasing government revenues. That is a concern. Also, would you ban advertisement? Well, probably we should ban advertisements for soda altogether, just like we banned advertisements for cigarettes. That would put the brakes on a major American industry. And yeah, we like to see our stocks go up, 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 up. The stock market reaching an all-time high recently, and food industry stocks are good to hold and buy. But, you know, our economy is ultimately threatened by this epidemic of obesity. And should we be giving kids report cards, fat report cards to take home to mom and dad? Your kid's too heavy, do something. I think the right approach is via education and awareness. And I think this movie, Fed Up, goes a long way to getting the message out to America. Go see it. And even if it's not in a movie theater, very few movie theaters are carrying it because we've got these blockbuster summer movies, Godzilla and X-Men and Spider-Man. But get it on DVR when it comes out. Get it on DVD or get it via cable. See the movie because it's a really important statement about what's happening in America to our food supply. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. By the way, check out our drhoffman.com for a complete review of the Fed Up movie. That's my latest posting at drhoffman.com.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Taking an omega-3 has become part of my daily routine, but I did have some concerns about the environment and, quite frankly, the occasional fishy burp back. So I looked around and discovered a new eco-friendly and vegetarian alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. While it's no secret growing older can be a challenge, my doctor stresses the importance of omega-3s in helping to achieve and maintain a healthy lifestyle throughout all the stages of my life. I discovered that many health experts encourage supplementation with omega-3s to help support cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. Chia Omega is a high-quality, all-natural, plant-based line of supplements made from chia seed oil. Chia seeds are the richest and most sustainable natural sources of ALA omega-3 on the planet, containing even more than fish or flax. Having choices concerning my health and making a conscientious change benefiting the environment feels empowering. That's why I switched to Chia Omega. You can get essential formulas Chia Omega at Vitamin Shoppe and other fine health food stores everywhere.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Let's take some calls now. Let's talk to Jane. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Jane. Hi.
Yes,
this is Dr. Hoffman.
Hi. Nice talking to you. I have a question about two supplements.
Yep.
One is strontium. Mm-hmm. I was taking it, and then I heard you on one of your programs say that it's a strong medicine and a mm-hmm. strong supplement and
yep.
should be, you know. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, you know, strontium, I think, is something that is a very powerful thing that helps bone. But I don't think everyone should be taking strontium to prevent osteoporosis. I think it's something to be taken selectively if you have severe bone loss. You can use it for a relatively short period of time, you know, maybe 3-5 years to enhance bone. But it, you know, frankly, it is artificial to take such high doses of strontium. Strontium is found in nature, but the high doses that you're getting in a strontium pill are, you know, 100-fold stronger than what you're going to find in food. So I would use it judiciously. I don't think there are any harmful or dire effects of the strontium, But, you know, why take it if you don't necessarily need it? You could use milder ways of enhancing bone if you don't have a problem. You could use, take adequate vitamin D, take osteosupport, which has a blend of natural ingredients that help to support bone. That's a product that I formulated many years ago before we even knew about strontium. And you could also take a product called Ostera, O-S-T-E-R-A, which harnesses hops as a way of reducing inflammation in bone. And then there's, you know, so the lifestyle things, you know, exercise, making sure that you're on a healthy diet, a diet that combats inflammation. And, you know, you might be fine. But for patients, I have many patients who come in and say, wow, I've got a really bad bone density. I've taken medications. I didn't like the side effects, or I prefer not to take medications. Doctor says I must take, you know, these injections. And I'm concerned that I might get dental problems, pathological fractures, esophagitis, even esophageal cancer with some of these medications. So, you know, as an alternative to medication, I think strontium is great. But yeah. The other problem with strontium over the counter is you got to make sure you're taking the right amount and the right kind. I don't like products that are combo products where they say, oh, we'll give you a little calcium, a little magnesium, a little bit of strontium. That may not be enough strontium. And when you combine it together with calcium in a pill, you may neutralize the benefits of the strontium. So, you know, that's the problem with that. So get one more?
Yeah, the potassium. My doctor prescribed potassium citrate because she said that this would
calcium. The kidney stones?
Yeah, no, for that it will stop calcium from leaking out of the urine.
No, not really.
I read that it's not good.
potassium citrate is for... It's not to prevent osteoporosis. It really won't prevent osteoporosis. Was that the goal, to prevent osteoposis?
Because she said I'm leaking calcium out of...
You see, this is dumb. Because potassium citrate will prevent stone formation, but it won't prevent osteoporosis. I think there's this belief by some doctors that if you stop calcium coming out of your urine, that somehow that calcium is going to find its way into your bones necessarily. But... You know, let's say even if it works and it stops the calcium coming out of your urine, who's to say that the calcium that's being retained by your body and that you're not peeing out won't accumulate in your arteries or in your heart or in your brain or in your joints? So I don't think that strategy is warranted. But if you have a certain type of kidney stone, like calcium oxalate stones, potassium citrate is sometimes given. I actually prefer giving magnesium citrate. I think it actually works more effectively than the potassium citrate medication. So, I mean, no. I just don't get it. I don't know what that doctor is trying to achieve.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
I seem to agree with you. All right.
All right.
Well,
thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Let's talk to Jill. Welcome.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
Hi. I had an endoscopy 2 months ago, and I was diagnosed with severe inflammation in the entire digestive tract down to the small intestine.
Wow.
But nothing was ever said about what might cause it or what to do about it.
Yeah. Oh, so they just said, well, you have severe inflammation, have a nice day. That was it? Or they must have put you on medication.
I also had a biopsy when he did the endoscopy, and I lost so much blood that I was in hospital for 4 days.
Well, that's a cautionary tale. Wow.
Yeah.
For people to say, oh, well, just have a little endoscopy, it's a big deal. So I don't get it. What prompted the endoscopy? I mean,
I was feeling the inflammation in my chest, and
You were having heartburn. So commonly after an endoscopy that shows all that inflammation, you're going to be put on an acid blocker. Were you not put on a medication like Zegerid or Prevacid or something like that?
No, nobody mentioned it.
Oh, that's weird. Hey, Jill, stay with us. When we come back, I want to probe a little deeper into your situation because it's something that doesn't compute here. Got a lot of inflammation. They found problems, and then they're not addressing them, and they're not telling you what the cause is. I don't get it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, our audio engineer, Al, who produces this show, single-handedly, by the way, he does yeoman service for us each weekend, asked us during the break, is the newsletter free? And I said, yeah. It's what, you don't have to pay a subscription for the newsletter? No. And are the podcasts free? And yes, they are free, F-R-E-E. And in fact, another benefit is there are not even any commercials during the podcast. So you can listen to them clear through. Lots of additional information that you can get via a computer or a mobile device. You can subscribe to the podcasts. And all we ask is that you give us your firstborn. No, not really. It's free. We're getting the information out. And it's a labor of love. We do it every week, several times a week, and there's lots of useful content that you can find at drhoffman.com. All right, we got a little bit of a dilemma here with Joanna, who's calling us. I'm sorry, Jill. Jill's calling us after she had chest pressure, pain, discomfort. An endoscopy revealed lots and lots of inflammation. In fact, one of the consequences with the endoscopy, she landed in the hospital for 4 days because of bleeding induced by the biopsy. Yikes. So now you're telling us what? That they don't know what caused it, and they're not doing anything about it?
No,
something doesn't add up here.
They were so concerned about the blood loss that that's all they've been dealing with. Mm-hmm. And that was 2 months ago. I still don't have my hemoglobin up, or I'm still low in ferritin.
Yeah. So you just go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, well, you know, you're fine. We just have terrible inflammation, and we're not going to do anything about it?
That's it. I started taking on my own. I started taking Zantac, but I don't know that it's doing any good.
You see, this doesn't add up, because the usual drill, I mean, I'm putting on my conventional medicine hat here, not even the natural medicine hat, would be, let's put this woman on powerful acid blockers. And Zantac is something you can go to Walmart's and pick up some of that, or a supermarket. Any convenience store has Zantac these days. So you want maybe a more powerful acid blocker because of this bad inflammation. So something doesn't add up here. And, you know, also, if you were my patient, I would say, what's causing it? Is there a dietary factor? We would put you on a GERD diet or an ulcer diet, you know, eliminating possible precipitants of an ulcer. We would give you DGL, which has anti-inflammatory properties.
Yeah, I've been taking that on my own also, the DGL.
Yeah, so DGL is a licorice extract. The GERD diet involves avoiding some of the usual things that provoke stomach irritation, you know, like really spicy foods and alcohol and caffeine and acidic foods. But also we might hone in on other potential causes like a gluten sensitivity or perhaps a dairy allergy. There are many foods that people are intolerant to on an individual basis that we might try to eliminate. Yeast overgrowth can sometimes cause serious inflammation in the upper GI tract. And as you get older, sometimes the stomach acid production goes down. Acid blockers can actually make that problem worse. So I don't know. I would have to look at your records, the endoscopy, the picture, hear a little bit more about, you know, what your lifestyle's like, your diet, and then come up with some answers.
I think I have a very anti-inflammatory diet. I know I'm a vegetarian.
I don't know. I'm just drawing a blank here. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's just the whole thing doesn't add up. I don't get what. I mean, it's either something I'm missing or just really perfunctory and bad medical care. Yeah, they saved your life after they caused you to end up in the hospital 4 days with serious bleeding. And now what? They're going to leave you high and dry? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I guess I'll have to change doctors.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, you see a complementary physician maybe to, you know, delve into this a little more deeply. All right, this is an interesting thing that you'll find if you look at this weekend's Times, New York Times Magazine. There's a fascinating article that can only be described as paleo hygiene. You've heard about paleo diet, right? You know, eat like our Stone Age ancestors. You've heard about paleo exercise even, which is running barefoot and exercising the way a caveman might exercise, intermittently, working out on a Stairmaster, because they didn't have Stairmasters then. You know, the different types of movements, different ways that we were physically active during the Stone Age. This is an article about what I would call paleo hygiene. They profile a company called AO Biome that is looking at the effects, basically, of not washing the skin or stop taking showers. And the author of this article took the challenge. She stopped her daily routine of shampooing and showering and facial treatments. And she then was tested by this company. And what they found was they actually found good things happening on her skin. They found a proliferation of beneficial bacteria that retard the development of harmful bacteria, such as the staph bacteria that cause MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph aureus, a terrible scourge of sometimes patients in hospital, or even patients, free-living patients, sometimes develop these terrible skin infections that are incurable. And they also found a reduction in propionibacteria, which is the bacteria that may be the causative agent for acne. So what they're saying is all this washing, cleaning, disinfecting that we're doing with disinfectant soaps, they say the worst ingredient imaginable, and it's virtually every soap, is sodium lauryl sulfate. That, you know, look for it in many, you know, your shampoos and cosmetic products. Just the alkalinizing effects of soaps can damage the skin, and they're even talking about making products that contain probiotics, beneficial bacteria that you can introduce to the skin surface to begin to replenish the natural flora, the natural bacteria that live on your skin. By the way, this is a theme of several of our podcasts this week, because we talked to the author of a book called Missing Microbes, Dr. Martin Blaser. And he talked, this is a guy who headed up the medicine program at the place where I trained, NYU, New York University Hospital here in New York. And now he's focusing his attention on the human microbiome and writes with great conviction that we're overusing antibiotics and disinfectants. And we're creating a lot of health problems for ourselves in the process. And we talked to Jessica Richmond, who is heading up the Ubiome project, which is a way that you can have your stool tested, but not just your stool. You can have your oral secretions and your nasal secretions tested to see if they are optimal or not so optimal. Get a report card on your spit and your poop and find out if you're in balance, or if your ecology is the equivalent of the Sahara Desert, as it might be if you've taken too many antibiotics or too many acid blockers. These can actually disrupt your natural balance. So important subject being broached in the New York Times Magazine this week, and we're very au courant because that's our focus via the podcasts. Also, a new study that suggests that triclosan is a popular disinfectant. It will promote nasal invasion by staph bacteria. This antimicrobial compound may help bacteria stick around, and its purpose is to kill the bacteria. Well, in a boomerang kind of way, it may encourage the proliferation of very harmful, dangerous bacteria, particularly in our nasal passages. All right. When we return, more of your phone calls. We invite you to call 888-302-3684 on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our next caller is Bruce from Long Beach, New York. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Hoffman, long-time listener, and hey. I just came back from Florida, and you just came back. And my question is, I was gone for 5.5 months. I came back home. I live on the ocean in a rental building, and black mold.
Well, you live in a place that got hit by Hurricane Sandy. It was pretty badly flooded.
Right, but that has nothing to do with anything that happened. Okay. My building was very lucky. They had no damage. But I came back a few days ago, and in the bedroom there was black mold from the floor to the ceiling by the window. And I wanted to know if there's any supplements that I could take for the acute time to ward off any potential health problems.
A really, really serious problem. I mean, even if you go back in the Bible, you know, if you go back into, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they talk about, you know, what to do if your house is infested with mold. And what they basically said is, like, tear down your house and, you know, bury it under the ground, you know, because this is recognized even since biblical times. I'm not suggesting you do this, but it's a serious problem. It's such a serious problem that on September 10th, 2001, that was a fateful day because that was one day before something else happened. The headline in, I believe it was the Post, you know, New York's tabloid, was killer mold. And it was about the proliferation of black mold after that very wet summer season in New York in 2001. And so we're talking about a really serious challenge to your immune system. And I've seen patients who've been rendered permanently sick, not just with respiratory problems, but with immune problems from exposure to black mold. You have to make sure it's not Stachybotrys, which is the most deadly form of black mold. That would really require you moving out, staying away, and professional cleaning and abatement. You'd have to have a very, very comprehensive cleanup. But in terms of things that will help your immune system, you know, obviously you need to take the various components. You would take higher doses of vitamin C and zinc and selenium in particular, which helps to support glutathione. You can take glutathione supplements, but many of them are not that well absorbed. I prefer N-acetylcysteine to build up glutathione. That's a great detoxifier. You could take intravenous vitamin C. Patients who have been exposed to mold, they've come for IV vitamin C to my center. And you might also take a transfer factor, which is something that transfers immunity to people who have immune compromise. This is actually a derivative of colostrum from cows, but it's something that actually can help to reboot your immune response. So there may be several considerations dealing with your, you know, reducing your environmental load by attacking any food allergies that you might have. Your overall load might make you more vulnerable to the effects of mold. If you're affected by, say, gluten sensitivity and dairy sensitivity and you're exposed to mold, it might reduce your capacity to handle that additional insult. So those are some of the considerations, but, you know, you really have to pay attention to this. Get a professional cleaner and get it analyzed to make sure that it's not the deadly Stachybotrys, which can really cause serious health problems. You might have to tear walls down. It really involves and look through all the vents to make sure that it's not coming in through contaminated vents. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got one additional caller, Mary, who's calling us from New York City. How are you doing, Mary?
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
So happy Memorial Day.
So good to speak to you. I have a question about mercury poisoning from fish. And how do you detoxify the mercury in your system?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, first of all, you identify what the source of the poisoning is. And, dental amalgam fillings can be a source of excess mercury and certainly excess vaccines because they do contain mercury. But I think the way that people mostly get mercury into their bodies is by over-reliance on mercury-containing fish. And the species that are most responsible for that are shark and tuna, unfortunately, and swordfish especially is not good. Chilean sea bass. And you can go to Environmental Working Group website. They've got a feature called gotmercury.org, I think. Just go to gotmercury.org, and there's a convenient plug-in there where you plug in the type of fish that you want to eat and the portion size, and they'll tell you in relationship to what your optimal mercury intake should be. Obviously, your optimal would be virtually zero, but there's a threshold that they keep very low, where they tell you don't exceed that threshold, and especially if you're considering pregnancy. You may pass this along to your child. So getting it out. Okay, once it's in you, what do you do? Well, I use a combination of natural therapies along with a medical therapy. There's a medication called DMSA, dimethyl succinic acid, which is a prescription. And you prescribe it, and patients, this is what would happen if you were working, say, in a battery factory and got exposed to mercury. That's what they do for industrial workers. But people can take it under a doctor's supervision. It has to be prescribed, and it will help to drive the mercury out via a process called chelation. But you can also take cilantro. You need to take more selenium to help build glutathione. You can take N-acetylcysteine. You can use whey powder. There are a variety of natural chelating products. Pectisol is one of them that helps to take heavy metals out of the body. And by virtue of this detoxification process, gradually you can mobilize mercury. It takes a while because mercury is very tenacious. It will stay in the body. And so best thing to do is avoid getting the problem in the first place. I very, very rarely eat tuna these days. I try to keep my mercury intake to a minimum because goodness knows we've been exposed to enough. And it comes through in food, and it comes through in our water supply. Mostly the result of coal-fired power plants. Well, thanks very much for joining us. And we've got a great website, drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. Follow us on Twitter and follow us on Facebook. Lots of information to send out your way. And check out our podcast as well. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Until next week.